It seems to me that one of the most difficult things for a parent or for a teacher or a coach is to witness someone, their child or their student or their athlete, who they have given so much time to, who has incredible potential, who they've invested so much time and energy in. One of the most difficult things is to see that child or that student or that athlete squander and not maximize the potential that they see in them. Think, for example, of the parent who's got an incredible child, so gifted in so many ways, so many opportunities, but who, for whatever reason, in college gets involved in the world of drugs and squanders all of the opportunities, the career opportunities that that parent saw for them. Or imagine the teacher who's got an incredibly bright student who they invest sort of extra time and energy in because this student they sense has incredible potential. And for whatever reason in high school and college, that student just lacks the self-discipline to maximize their intelligence. Or think of the coach who has an athlete who's got incredible potential, but who through a series of self-destructive choices, Johnny Manziel, sorry, I just had to cough, squanders that. One of the more frustrating things for the parent or the coach or the teacher is to see that. I think that lens is the lens through which we have to see God's attitude in the first reading and the gospel today. Because it's kind of harsh, and it almost seems at first like God is relishing in the fact that they fail. In the Isaiah passage, he almost seems as if he's relishing in the fact that they have self-destructed. They have totally squandered the vineyard that the Lord meticulously and lavishly planted for them and gave them every advantage possible. And yet, God almost, in a sense of joy, lets it self-destruct. Or in the gospel, Jesus tells the story of all of the messengers that we have missed that he has sent to us to give us spiritual advantages. And I think we have to look at these passages through the lens of the parent, through the lens of the teacher or the coach, who is not angry but is so disappointed because they see the potential that the child has, and yet it breaks their heart that that potential is not maximized. You can hear that in the words of a parent who, after their child has gone in and out of rehab, they get so frustrated, they say something like, I just can't do this anymore. I can't do it anymore. I put everything into this child and they still keep letting me down. I think that's God's feeling in our reading. Like, listen, how much more do I have to do for you before you don't squander the gifts that I'm offering? The problem in the first reading is that the people of Israel have allowed wild grapes to overrun the vineyard. It's a great image. They have allowed wild grapes which are choking the good grapes. Wild grapes which are choking the vines that God had planted. In the gospel, it's a different image. The image is we have rejected the messengers of truth that God has sent us. And so I think the lesson for us today, one of the lessons in these readings is, what are the wild grapes in our hearts? What are the things that are choking the things that will produce what God sees in us? What are the things that are stifling and that are obstacles and that are distractions from the best version of ourself that God sees? And the other image is, what messengers of truth has God sent into our path that we have simply ignored. Or we have simply rejected because we didn't want to deal with the fact that they were actually saying something true to us about ourselves. And so I think the lesson for us today is to scrutinize our own hearts and ask, what are the wild grapes that have overrun the vineyard of my heart? What are the various distractions and actions and thoughts and dispositions and all other sorts of things that block the good grapes and the good vines from producing the fruit that God sees them producing? And who are the people that God has sent into our life to speak words of truth and peace to us that we have often rejected? And I would challenge us to do that personally. I have to say, I think it's very easy to find wild grapes in institutions. And that's not illegitimate, right? In fact, the parable in the first reading is geared to an institution in the sense of a people, the people of Israel as a collective body. But if you're like me, it's much easier to look for wild grapes and weeds in institutions because there's a distance between us and the criticism. Like if I asked right now, what are the wild grapes in the church as a whole? I bet you guys could scream all sorts of stuff. People would volunteer information. If I asked, what are the wild grapes and the weeds in our political system? I bet you'd all have plenty of opinions on that. If I ask, what are the wild grapes and the weeds in our education system? I bet you'd all have opinions. But see, and those are legitimate, right? Those are very legitimate enterprises to ask those things. But see, when we do that, we can deflect from our own weeds and our own wild grapes really well. Because I can talk about the wild grapes in the church as a whole without asking about the wild grapes in this member of the church. And so the gospel today challenges us in that respect. What are the wild grapes that have overrun the vineyard of our hearts? And who are the people God consistently sends, other than, of course, Jesus and the church, who obviously are messengers, but even individuals in our lives who we encounter all the time, who speak truth to us and who we sort of dismiss because we don't like what they say? What are those wild grapes and who are those messengers? Friends, God sees incredible potential in each and every one of us. He sees better than we do the best version of ourselves. He sees the potential that He has created in each and every one of us as His son or daughter. Just like every parent in here knows seeing that potential in their child. God sees that potential in us. Let's pray that through His grace, we might not squander it.